Resources Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Monday, March 21st, and we are here for a public hearing on prioritization for four state agencies. I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5519, which is the budget bill for the Land Use Board of Appeals, and invite that agency to come forward to be available for questions if the members have questions. Otherwise, Ms. McGlashan, could you set the stage here for our first prioritization?
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, hopefully you have your list before you, and LUBA is the first agency in that set of spreadsheets, and you might recall that when they presented during the phase one hearings earlier that their prioritized list just has one line item because they are a single program agency. And so unless you have some questions on that or some desire to do something different with it.
This appears to be massively straightforward. Are there any members of the committee that don't agree with ranking this one thing as the highest priority? Then we'll consider it a consensus.
I don't think we have consensus, Madam Chair.
Representative Krieger, do you care to make a comment?
It's an law, isn't it, that they have a Land Use Board of Appeals.
That's correct.
Yes.
If we changed who had standing in the state to represent property rights, we couldn't even need them.
Thank you. I appreciate that input. Anyone else want to comment on this? Then we'll just consider that the department's list stands as the priority list. And thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to share with us today. And I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5519 and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 5511, which is the budget bill for the Department of Energy.
Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, as you may recall, Department of Energy was with you last week. We went over their list of 19 priorities, a few more than number one. As I read over my notes from last week, I did not take any, or I don't believe there was any exceptions noted to this list. I think overall the committee had been happy with it. Might want to review that. Now, essentially, their nuclear cleanup was placed as their highest priority, and then their support to the tax credit programs, school programs, and then energy siting overall.
Colleagues, I have a question that I'd like to ask to the director. The first priority is the Power and Conservation Council. Can you talk to us about why that's number one?
Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Mike Graney, Director of Department of Energy. It was kind of an apples and oranges thing. I really didn't know how to compare the Northwest Planning Council otherwise, because it's a separate function, doesn't really go through our programs, even though their funding comes through our budget. It's a standalone entity. That's the funding that the council members receive directly from the Bonneville Power Administration for their expenses and that of their direct staff. It is important because it's Oregon's voice on this regional council, but I really didn't know how to rank it compared to the programs that we operate and our functions.
But why is that more important than, say, Hanford nuclear waste cleanup?
Well, Madam Chair, I don't know as it is, but it seemed to me we either listed it first or last because there's no way to compare because it's completely separate from our programs that we operate. I didn't have a basis for comparing it at all. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, I can try to make a judgment on the others.
Representative Crowe.
Thank you. I actually went just a bit farther than our instructions on the sheet that we had about high, medium, and low. I actually rank a couple of these at very high. And one of them is emergency preparedness for nuclear safety. I think that ought to be, in my opinion, the number one, at least on a temporary basis, the number one issue that this agency should be concerned with. Mostly because of the war on terrorism. We know there's substantive intelligence in regards to the targeting of any nuclear site, period. And while we don't have an active nuclear power plant in this state, we have plenty of nuclear issues to deal with. And I would encourage the department and make the case that I think this ought to be at least temporarily for the next couple of years moved to a higher level of priority. I also had the question in regards to the Northwest Power Planning Council, and I understand the director's explanation there. I just felt that the nuclear Hanford cleanup issue and the nuclear emergency public preparedness issue ought to be the two highest priorities, Madam Chair, from my perspective.
And I'm not in disagreement with you. I would put also in there the radioactive waste transport program. I think that that has a high public safety aspect to it, too. Senator Bates?
Just real quickly, if I can make a comment. Sometimes these things are kind of hard to put through our minds, I guess, and then looking at other budgets, I guess the first thing I think of is public safety or individual safety, like children's safety and some of the budgets. And what you did, I think, for the most part, made sense to me, but I have to kind of agree that nuclear waste cleanup, emergency preparedness for nuclear safety, radioactive waste transport, and the Trojan nuclear plant decommissioning were three or four that kind of jumped out at me. Like, on the basis of public safety, they seem pretty significant to me. I thought they should move to the top of the list. I would be persuaded otherwise if you could kind of give me sort of a feel for why you felt differently about that.
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, well, those programs are within, those three are three of our top five, or four of our top six here. So I, in terms of our programs, not counting the Northwest Council's item. So I certainly agree with you with the importance. I think we were evaluating how you compare both those important public health and safety functions with, in the case of the Business Energy Tax Credit, that's the most significant program in terms of payback and impact in terms of energy savings. And then our energy facility siting has been important to assure that we avoid the supply problems that we had in 2000 and 2001. But I certainly wouldn't disagree with you on the public safety concerns of any of those items. And we treat them all very important.
Representative,
I'm sorry. I want to have a follow-up just for a second. The Trojan nuclear plant decommissioning, is there any radioactive material still left at the plant or on the site that you're dealing with of any significance?
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, there is. It's the spent fuel, and it's only the spent fuel. And that spent fuel has been removed from what was originally a wet storage, looked like a large swimming pool underground, to what's called dry cast storage. They're put in large stainless steel containers surrounded by concrete, so that the these are actually shipping casts in the event the Nevada repository is ever opened. They'd be able to be shipped there, but in the meantime they could be stored on site indefinitely for 50 years or longer, and it's freed up the rest of the site for development, including possible additional new power plants.
So it would be considered to be safe and secure in the way that it's stored right now?
Yes, I'm sure. I mean, there's always a risk with radioactive material, but the ability to get at that material, terrorists or otherwise, would be extremely hard compared to other nuclear materials, the form that it's in.
Senator?
No, I mean, the remainder of his prioritization seemed to make sense, at least to me. Just those four just kind of jumped out. I was concerned about, and I still think I'd move all four of them up. I mean, if you think the point of view, if you lost all your funding, would you leave the nuclear waste material from the nuclear power plant just sitting there by itself? I don't think you would, obviously.
Right.
But I mean, you'd be watching it. You'd have a guard there. You'd be taking care of it. So I just, it's just me. Those four I would move up. The rest of them look pretty reasonable. Be a nice job.
Representative Schultz,
thank you. On that. What we're not the main is are we the main overseer of these nuclear materials, or is the federal government playing a huge role in this too?
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, for the material at Trojan, both we and Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission have direct regulatory responsibility. The Portland General Electric, the owner of the Trojan plant, has a license from the state for possession and for decommissioning of the plant. We did oversee the decommissioning along with the federal government.
Chair, so if we did nothing, the federal government would still be there seriously heavily monitoring these things. Is that correct or am I wrong?
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, that's correct.
All right. Then, Madam Chair, I went ahead and ranked mine. And my Hanford was my number one, probably because of the book I'm reading right now. Deals a lot with that. But I went in and talked about facility siting, all that stuff. That's what I was up first, because we're talking about energy and the production and need for it. Then I went with the, just for the record, I went with the renewable energy and conservation. Then I did all the tax credit and the loans. And my last two, I put the Power Council last, because in the end, I just don't know how much some judge's going to come along and overrule something if they don't like it anyway. So why should, if we were going to do anything with this money, which we're not going to. And then I had Trojan last because it's so little money. And that was because of the federal government, I'm sure, is heavily involved there. But for what it's worth, that was my logic behind my rankings.
Okay. Well, I hear a consensus around pulling out the emergency preparedness, the radioactive waste transport, and the Hanford nuclear waste cleanup, and moving those up to the top of the list because of the public safety aspects. Do I have consensus around that? Okay. And then moving into the next level, does the committee want to put the Trojan nuclear plant decommissioning up in that same category?
I would move into it there, but others may disagree.
I'm less concerned about that now after having I was not unaware that the spent fuel rods were now encased in concrete. I thought they were still in the pool, which in my mind would have raised that to an extremely high level. If it's in concrete, I'm much less worrisome about that. To me, it's a medium kind of a level for
okay.
me.
Okay.
Same for me, because you've got the feds involved too.
And Madam Chair, wouldn't that small amount of money reflect the fact that it is in concrete now?
But I don't. I mean, putting it as a medium priority is fine. I don't have a problem with that either. So in the next level, do you want to move into the economic development type stuff as being the next priority level, which would put you with a business and energy tax credit program, the energy siting facility siting program, the small scale energy loan program, the Oregon Energy Efficient Schools, the Business Energy Tax Credit, the Small Scale Energy Loan Program, another energy siting facility, this one for renewable, the other one for conventional, and then the residential tax credit programs for conservation and renewable, and the Household Business and Industrial Conservation Program. I think you got probably the top two on the second page there, 15th and 16th priority also. And what I was thinking of these ones, I mean, I don't have a problem with the way they're actually listed on here in level of importance, but I think they're all kind of a clump that should go together. Does anybody have any feedback on that?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Crump.
I chose to think similarly, but I ranked these based on what I think will be the likely challenges facing the agency in the next 2 to 4 years.
Okay.
For a number of reasons. Biofuels, whether we pass any legislation in this state or not, it is coming here. There are 10 facilities in various stages of permitting to locate themselves here in the next few years. And secondly, the federal energy bill is likely to be passed out of Congress that will likely have additional wind power incentives. The BPA is negotiating and talking with us about building additional transmission capacity, which is a very real problem. And so what I've done is I've chosen to rank all of these kind of based on the renewable energy direction over the next couple of years, because I think the agency is going to have to put substantial resources into that, because the applications are coming to them or will be shortly for those types of facilities, wind power and clearly the renewable biofuels, ethanol type issues. So what I did is I ranked business energy tax credit and energy facility siting both for renewable and conventional for both of those as high. I ranked the small energy scale loan program, both of them. Well, I ranked the first one on conservation low.
So first was energy facility siting conventional.
I ranked high.
Okay, so that would, if that was the next one, that would be 4. Because we've already done 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And
then the other one, was the other energy siting one?
Well,
there is 9.
Actually is listed as number 10 for
small scale
for renewables. I rank that at medium, and again I'm basing this on what I think the department is going to have to be faced with in terms of the size and scale of the projects that will be coming to them. They're going to be larger projects rather than smaller, and I think agency resources, at least in the next couple of years, are going to be tied up really dealing with these large facilities that may be sited here.
Okay, so, but this is, the first one is the conventional
yes.
energy siting. Then the next one on your list is the renewables for the small energy loan program. Right, this one?
Actually, I'm small energy loan program up here, which
for
is...
For conservation?
Is, right. I have ranked at a lower scale. And if you go down to number 10,
yeah.
the small scale energy loan program for renewables, I have ranked a little higher at medium, because there will be smaller renewable energy, small-scale projects that will be coming along that will be new to the process also.
Okay, you got me confused here. After number 4 on their list, which is the energy facility siting,
yes.
what's your next priority after that?
Down below radioactive number 7 would be my next priority.
Okay.
And that's okay. You're asking for priorities, not.
Somehow we got to put these in.
Not high, medium, or low.
Yeah. Well, and that's going to figure into it. But we've ultimately got to put these all in a list. So I think by sorting out the high, medium, low, we should be. What else have you got that's high priority?
Energy facility siting for renewables because of the wind power that's likely going to come at us, and also.
Okay.
And also the business energy tax credit program for renewables.
Okay.
For the same reasons.
Madam Chair, can I ask a question? Are we going to hand our sheets in and then somebody compile all this?
Well, I think that our analyst is going to take okay. the compilation as we go through this.
I mean, excuse me, no, I mean, are we going to individually hand all ours in? Is she going to hand all of ours up? Or how are we going to do it?
We're going to do this by consensus in this
okay.
room. Okay, so let's take these 4 programs that are on the table right now, which is the one that is Department 3, Program mm-hmm. 3, the Business Energy Tax Credit, the one that's 7-1, the Small Scale Energy Loan Program Non-Limited on the conservation side, the energy, I missed one, energy siting facility, which is 4-4.
Which is 4-4.
Mm-hmm. And the energy facility siting, which is 11-9. The difference between those two being one is conventional and one is renewable.
Right. And Madam Chair, I'm just saying that I believe the agency is going to have to continue to deal with both conventional and renewable, because we still have applications for natural gas fired plants, which is conventional.
Keep saying conventional. You mean conservational?
No, conventional.
But let's get some.
Conservation is one thing, renewable is something else, the way I understood it. But I'm missing it here again.
Could you get us
straightened out on this? Madam Chair, for those three programs, energy facility siting, business energy tax credit, and the energy loan program, we did break them into two different functions. In the case of energy siting, it was conventional facilities like natural gas on the one hand and renewable energy like wind on the other. For the two incentive programs, the business tax credit and the energy loan program, we broke them out as for energy conservation projects and then for renewable energy projects. And I do think Representative Crump is right that we're likely to see increased activity. We certainly hope so in all three of those programs for renewable energy this next biennium.
Answer, Senator.
Thank you.
Okay, so is there any issues? I mean, is the way that Representative Crooks thought about this okay with the members of the committee, or do you want to change it around at all?
Let me see if I got a little confused here along the way, so make sure I understand. I mean, the way I kind of think of it is this: safety first. Our next big issue is maintaining a business presence and increasing jobs in the state, and that would be with the business tax credits and conservation, site of conventional sites and gas power plants, as an example, that are as effective as possible. And then I look at renewables as a long-term goals, and I think that's kind of the way I look at this. Not to disagree with the point of view that we need to do things on a residential basis too, but we need jobs, and we need efficient jobs, and we need to maintain our vision of renewable energy in the long term. So I think that's what you tried to do.
It is, and again, I'm sort of focusing on Senator, where I think what the agency is going to have to put effort into based on factors beyond their control. Congress passing the federal energy title, just a number of people that are already involved in seeking to build facilities here. And that's the reason that I chose to make the argument, because I think they're just going to have to shift resources there. They're going to have to be involved in that. It's going to demand their time and attention no matter what.
They'll have a missed opportunity if they don't.
I would agree.
Okay. Well, and I agree with Senator Bates on this one. I think that the nurturing existing business is a huge challenge that we have in the state of Oregon. And so I would tend to put the business energy tax program and the conventional energy facility siting high up on my priorities, just to kind of keep the path that we're on rolling ahead. And the same with the small scale energy loan program on the conservation side. And then I would move at that point into the energy facility siting for the renewables. So that would be, I think that would be a reasonable way to look at it.
Madam Chair, I'm right down the line with what you're saying, except for I did in mind, and I'm not going to jump up and down about this, I did throw in Oregon energy efficient schools because we're in such a crunch for money. If there's anything we can do to help and save money, then we seem to have an awful lot of money going into that program right now out of this department. For what it's worth, I just wanted to throw that in there. I don't have to have it in the top six, but I did have it in my top six.
Okay. Would it work then to put the energy efficient schools is, I think, given the fact that we're very challenged in getting money into the K-12 system, and this is one way that we can help bring the energy costs down in the education system to free money up to go in other places. I agree that this is a real priority program. Would you agree with putting it basically
I wouldn't have put it ahead of all the things you rattled off.
So put it right after the things that we just listed?
That's kind of the way I
So make it a 9?
With my logic anyway.
Okay.
Do all this.
And we've got to put the Trojan nuclear power plant decommissioning somewhere in the middle, too. So make that the 10?
I would say, that's fine with me, Madam Chair.
Okay.
And the residential energy tax credit programs, household, business, industrial conservation, those are all good programs.
Well, let's put the small-scale energy loan program.
For renewables.
For renewables. Let's put that one in as 11. And then we still haven't got the Northwest Power and Conservation, the number one priority anywhere on the list yet.
That's hard.
I would, what I think would be to put the rest of the tax credit and conservation programs down.
I actually ranked number 15, the state buildings energy efficient design, pretty low, just because I think probably again for the same reasons I articulated, the renewable energies projects, number 16, probably is going to have to rise to a higher level. It's got 9 FTE associated with it also, and that gets back to that idea that they're just going to have to shift resources where they're needed the most.
Okay.
So I kind of put the state buildings energy efficient design down with sustainable energy alternatives, technical assistance, state home weatherization program kind of at the bottom.
So is the committee then in agreement that the Northwest Power and Conservation Council should go to the bottom?
Only from the respect, Madam Chair, that it's really out of the purview of the agency is the only reason.
Yeah, it doesn't rise to the public safety cut. It doesn't rise to the economic development cut, although you could make some arguments.
You could. It's no denying that it's not very important, Madam Chair. It clearly is, but I don't know that
the department after. Ask the agency why they ranked it.
We did have that discussion.
We're in a bit of a flip-flop here.
Yes. Would you like to reiterate for Senator Bates?
I want to take the committee's time. I'll discuss with you later. That's okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with what's going on, so we can talk to you later about it.
I think the discussion was that it is kind of an odd thing, and it could fit almost anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
My preference would be to put it down at the bottom of the list.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. And then, is there any burning issues with just keeping the rest of these in the order that they're in, with having pulled the Trojan Nuclear Power Plant decommissioning out and making it number 10, then just let the rest of these fall the way they are on the list? Are you okay with that?
I am. I did have the state buildings energy efficient design higher. I guess I just need to find out someday how much money we're really saving on that stuff.
And we can have that discussion as we move through.
I'm okay with it. It sounds like you're going pretty close to what I have anyway. So.
Have you got what you need?
I do.
Thank you, Lisa.
So. You have what you need.
You've done that. You're ahead of the rest of us.
I would hope that we could get the final ranking of this on some kind of sheet that we could look over.
I will do that.
And I think it would be a good thing for the members to take a look at that before we adjourn on Thursday, just to make sure there's no heartburn on this.
We will do that.
If you go too long, we'll forget why we did it, then we'll really be in trouble, okay?
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5511 and open a public hearing on House Bill 5050, the State Marine Board.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Here's another half page.
Madam Chair, how far do you want to get today? How far do you hope to get today?
We've only got one more.
We have four to do all together, and we've done two.
Oh my God, we have an agenda.
You hadn't noticed that until now, huh?
Ms. Jordan, can you set
the stage?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is you have the priority list for the Oregon State Marine Board. During subcommittee discussions, there weren't any real conflicts with the way the agency had established their priorities. I did want to remind the committee that the criteria that the agency used to set their priorities is the statute, which says after administrative expenses, their number one priority is enforcement in each of the counties, facilities, and abandoned boats. Now, abandoned boats is a new statute that is kind of a standalone and requires the agency to go out and do something if there is an incident, and so far they haven't had to use those funds. So where you put them in the priority, if something happens, they'll have to go use resources to do that. So.
Okay, anyone who want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I would move administration to a lower level.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, I believe law enforcement administration and contracts, I believe contracts, frankly, ought to be number two in administration, law enforcement administration, number three.
Oh, I'm doing the same thing. What was number one for you?
Well, I'm fine with registration.
I put the registration as number one, too, being since that's a pretty major funding source.
Madam Chair, I put, just like Jeff said, I put number, Representative Krupp, forgive me, I put the second one, eight, and I left the rest alone. I have a question for the agency, though. What exactly is the definition of an abandoned boat? Is that barge on the coast right now, which has no people on it, that's floundering, is that technically considered an abandoned boat?
Are you talking about the new Carissa?
No. Just this weekend,
an oil barge
hung up loose going over the bar
last night.
And it's banging up against the coast.
Oh, yes, that
considered abandoned boat?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Wayne Schuler. I'm the Facilities Program Manager for the State Marine Board. I'm not aware of that particular vessel at this moment, but if it's a recent accident and it was caused by an accident, chances are it is not considered an abandoned vessel.
Representative Schaff and I were going to board it tonight and claim it's salvage.
Salvage.
Full oil.
Salvage rights.
Yeah.
That'll help keep the program afloat.
Yeah. Well, Representative, cancel the beer. We're not going.
Okay. I think Representative Krueger has something serious to say.
Huh. Serious or not? I also took that law enforcement administration, moved that down, but then I went down and took a look at the and the abandoned boats I moved down. But the facility grants to local communities, that's $7 million. It's one of the bigger chunks they got. And all the state, you know, counties and parks, everybody's dependent on that. And those dollars come in there. I moved it up. Where you want to put it up above, I don't know.
I also did.
Well, what I did was, I think we are all in agreement that registration is the first thing. I'm hearing that nobody's got some real heartburn with that. The next thing that I went to was law enforcement contracts, and I'm not hearing a lot of angst about that either. Then I went to the education piece, figuring that this is one of the ways that we've been cutting down on the boating accidents is by making people aware of the risks of boating drunk and boating in dangerous places. Then I went to the hazardous submerged things, in the abandoned boats, because that's a public safety issue. And then I went to grants to local governments because those are really critical. And then I did the administrative piece. No, wait a minute. Then I did administrative and engineering services, and then administration, and then law enforcement administration.
Madam Chair, I would disagree with you respectfully on the abandoned boats.
Okay.
In regards to, I believe the agency had no activity on that last year because there weren't any.
Yeah, that's correct.
So
you'd move that down.
I would move it down because I would agree with Representative Krueger. I think the grants to local governments.
So switch those two around.
Yeah, is an ongoing issue. I mean, it's a lot of money, and I would rank it higher.
Okay. Does anybody have any problem with that?
Madam Chair, I was surprised you ranked education so high. You ranked it the same way I did. I thought it was going to be an outlier for me. I think education really is important here. Getting people educated not to drink and drive those boats is the biggest problem we got.
Yeah. Especially in rough water.
Chair.
Whatever.
I can remember it. I'm tired for a lot of days, long hours. I remember watching a guy at the Port of Brookings in my prior life, as I call it, where he took his trailer and made 16 stabs at his trailer before he finally got down. Walked down to the boat and he had two mixed drinks and those little holders that sway back and forth. He had to crawl through his boat.
He's putting it in.
Taking it out.
Oh, he was taking it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done 60 runs putting
it
in.
So we did have
sober.
A conversation.
Is it a teachable moment?
I think it was for him.
The next day.
Okay, so what I've got here for the ranking, I've got 1, 7, 8, 2, 3, 5, 6, 4.
That's close enough.
That's good enough.
Okay. I think we're done. Thank you very much. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5050 and open a public hearing on House Bill 5032, which is the Department of Geology and Mineral Industry.
Aha, this is the one I've been waiting
for. Good. Oh, yeah. It's always fun having Gary Lynch in front of us.
Myself on the mercy of the committee.
We always
save
the best for
last.
Just for you.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Have you been beating up on your staffers?
Well, it's a tough program.
Mr. Siever.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, what this was in front of you just a few weeks ago, this budget was, I don't think there was a lot of discussion around the prioritized list, other than maybe the second to the last program, the last ranked program, which is the mine land regulation and reclamation, when there was some consideration about why that was ranked last. And I believe the director explained that was, again, a situation of having a unique program. And I think their last of their priorities is, could the agency survive without this program? But I think that was pretty much the only conversation piece that I can remember during subcommittee discussion.
Okay. The committee members, you've already waited twice.
So I should keep my mouth shut, Madam Chair?
Let's give Senator Shields a chance. What do you think on the priorities here?
I haven't thought about it very much. I'm pretty content with what's listed the way it's listed so far.
Okay. Senator Bates, have you got any overriding concerns?
Nothing red hot, but after we had the meeting, I actually had a chance to talk to one of your staffers about earthquakes, tsunamis, and coastal hazards. And I was kind of impressed by some of the work that you guys are doing and watching that. I was also impressed by the Cascadia Fault that gives you about a 7-minute warning in case of a major fault movement and a tsunami that would hit the coast. We'd have 7 minutes of warning is all. And so when I looked, I went back and looked at this afterwards, I thought, is coastal hazards involved in tsunami warnings, and is there a bigger danger there than we realize, or should that be moved up? And I'm not sure that's really falls within your jurisdiction or not. It was a good, it was a great conversation. I've known your staffers. She came over and kind of educated me. It was a very interesting conversation.
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, that staffer was actually the state geologist. So she, unfortunately, is in Washington, D.C. and couldn't get out of there to attend here. So Don Phillips, who is the assistant director for Program 1, can answer that question a whole lot better than I can.
For the record, my name is Don Lewis, and I am the assistant director of the Department of Geology, responsible for the Geologic Survey, Program 1. I believe the question was...
Can I just break in for a moment? For the record, Mr. Lynch, could you identify yourself?
I should know better by now. My name, for the record, my name is Gary Lynch. I'm the Assistant Director of the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries.
Thank you so much. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Bates. I believe the question was related to tsunami and earthquake or seismic hazards, and where does that fall in the agency? Is that the question?
Yeah, because one of your priority, Madam Chair, if I can speak, one of your priorities, number two, is coastal hazard. I don't know if you're talking about slippage in 101 or if you're talking about something a little more serious, such as earthquakes and tsunamis.
Sure. The answer is yes. The tsunami and all geologic hazards, earthquakes, tsunami, landslides, volcanic eruption, anything of that nature does fall within the geologic survey in terms of responsibility for characterization and mitigation and education. In terms of the question about tsunami work specifically, that work primarily falls to the coastal office in Newport. However, some of the responsibilities cross sections. When you see this sort of segmented description of the agency, it doesn't really capture the sort of the integrated nature of how these programs function. So, for example, some of our scientists who technically are in some of these other sections participate in programs like that. So the state is involved with the National Tsunami Hazard Mitigation Program, primarily funded by NOAA. And every year the state works with NOAA to identify criteria and both research and education programs to be carried out.
Madam Chair, the only reason I bring the question up, because this came up after we had discussed it in committee, and the question in my mind, would you change your, if you looked at it from point of view of public safety, would you change your priority list as far as one being dropped down below 2, 3, or 4, because those deal with earthquake hazards and possibly tsunami hazards? Would that change your thinking, or with the federal government involved, you feel comfortable with the list the way you've made it?
Well, I guess one thing I'd like to say on behalf of Director McConnell is that she primarily developed the questions and utilized them directly as they're stated, and I do not believe used a criteria of utility of any one program, whether it was tsunami or earthquake or otherwise. So she went through each one of these questions, answered them directly, and then that what fell out of that was the ranking criteria that you see. So that was not one of the questions.
Well, when I looked at this, I think that there's a couple of ways that you could do it. I would do it differently. I would pull the second priority and the fifth priority out because I think there are definitely public safety aspects to those two.
So you're concerned like I was then.
And then the mine land reclamation program, I think, is a clear economic vitality issue, that those are the folks that keep the sand and gravel people operating and that they're critical for job creation and job maintenance. And so what I would think would be a way to look at this would be to rank the number two and the number five priorities as one and two, rank the mine land reclamation program as number three, and then just hold with the rest of them. Senator Shields.
My reason for not changing has to do more with the fact that, you know, the tsunami, yeah, could come next month or next year. On the other hand, it might not come for another 1,000 years. You know, it's we are, yeah, but we are a reactive people. We are right now sitting in a reactive stage relative to the December 26th tsunami in the South Pacific, and I mean, so we're all on edge right now. Given the bigger scheme of things, I'm not sure that that's so warranted. I sat in hearings in Newport on this subject a month or so after the tsunami, and we had in my general government committee in the Senate a whole set of hearings we had it at OSU so that we could go to the wave machine and watch how some of these things would act, and actually watched it. And then you put that in context with the timing issue. I mean, it's very easy to get very excited at one level, and then you step back and say, you know, can we plan given the I mean, yeah, we can design things. They showed us a model of a new kind of harbor that they're building. They showed us the materials that they would use for the building of a new kind of harbor. We can build that into future infrastructure. I don't know how reactionary we want to be in the process, given the absolute impossibility of knowing the timing. I'm just sharing some of my rationale.
So
it's not necessarily relevant, but
are you okay with ranking the?
I'm saying I'm okay with whatever you want to do. It just didn't make enough to make me. It wasn't significant enough given the timing issue that I was going to necessarily rearrange this. But if you want to do that, that's okay, Brian.
Thank you, Senator Schubert. I would still move it up. I remember what happened in the 1960s, south coast from Alaska, and I know we've got the tsunami warning system out there. And
it's just an earthquake-prone
area. And we know we've had huge tsunamis on the coast as early. The most recent one that was a bad one was 1704. That was 300 years ago, and we're sort of semi-due for one. So who knows? Maybe it's 100 years away, 200 years away, 300 years away, and tomorrow, I don't know. But I think what you're doing is reasonable. I just want to see that maintained. There was a discussion of taking the tsunami signs down, taking the system apart 6 months ago because people were worried about scaring tourists.
Changed their mind, didn't
they? Well, they changed their mind. But I think a reasonable way you're doing it right now seems appropriate, and I would like to move that up as something you wouldn't cut before you cut other things. We're talking about priorities here.
Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I initially had them just in the same order you did. I figured, what the heck? Now, here, listening to the conversation, I have no problem with your order, by the way. And I'd be remiss if I, considering my history, did not support moving up mineral lands regulation and reclamation. I'll freely confess to that. But on the tsunami part, call me Mr. Paranoid and drive my wife crazy. I always ask her, is our room going to be several hundred feet above the beach? I don't want to stay on the beach. And I mean, I don't like going down looking at tide pools, like creeper waves. It all freaks me out, even though I'm a great swimmer. But my question is, at least I was a great swimmer, my question is on the money that you have here for this kind of stuff, how much is this strictly research, or do you actually provide money to local governments for them to put up signs, hand out literature, build up their warning infrastructure? What happens there with the money on the ground? The money you have right now.
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, the answer is that yes, we do provide funding, again, specifically related to tsunamis and tsunami education, drawing primarily from the NOAA funds, but also at a lesser degree from general funds. There is the tsunami brochures and the signage that you see on the coast was provided primarily by that program. The agency maintains a website that has inundation maps and the tsunami inundation line, as well as evacuation brochure materials for public use. And there's of course been quite a bit of demand for that in the last few months.
Thank you.
So is there consensus around then having the priority number two be priority number one, priority number five be priority number two, the not assigned priority, the Mine Land Reclamation Program, being number three, and then just following through with the ones that we took out of there in the order that they're already in?
I'm fine with that.
You okay with that? Good. We'll call that a consensus, and we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5032. And before I adjourn the committee members, with my limited technological skills, I attempted to send you all an email on Friday about a field trip that we've been invited to join the House Water Committee on, a trip out to the research hatchery, ODFW's research hatchery at Fall Creek. If that fits in your schedule and you want to go on that trip, please let me know as soon as possible. So it's April 1st in the morning. Friday, April 1st in the morning.
April Fool's Day.
I'm not kidding on that.
folks. What time do we leave, Madam Chair?
I believe it's 10 o'clock, something like that. And we'll get back until sometime in the late afternoon.
I won't get to work from four sessions.
Yeah, I would think you could get
I would stand in the barbecue.
Is it
right?
We leave here at 10.
Yeah. Madam Chair, before we lose anybody, I have a question that I wanted to ask the other day, but I thought, well, I'll move on. We went through some budgets here that weren't very hard to do this. If there is a budget where there isn't consensus here, now, when you mean consensus, do we have to have a majority as it was if we were voting? Or, first of all, that question. And if we do not come to a consensus, do we just, what do we do then? I don't know what happens around here. What happens?
A consensus would be just a kind of a majority decision. We're not going to vote on anything. We're just going to talk it over. And if one or two members are not in agreement with the rest of the group, we'll note that on the final ranking that we have. I think that people need to remember that this is just the first cut through these programs and that we're going to go in detail in the second phase of the budgeting process into the priority ranking. We're going to use these rankings to push off from. The agency's going to have an opportunity to come back and talk to us about how they think we've ranked their programs. The public's going to have an opportunity to come in and talk about how we've ranked these programs. And we're going to have an opportunity to change the ranking if the discussions in the subcommittee go in that direction. So this is just a push-off point. The other purpose of this is that the co-chairs are right now putting their co-chairs' budget together. They were very interested in getting feedback from the subcommittees about how the subcommittees were seeing priorities based on the information that had been gained through the overviews in the first phase. So, if there's no further business, I will eagerly await your RSVPs or lack of those on the field trip, and we'll adjourn this meeting. We'll be getting back together again.